What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. Today on the podcast, we've got brother Chris Scott. He's an iron worker in Denver. And on Instagram, Chris is known as the working muscle. And so that's kind of how I found Chris. I reached out to him. I just really like what he's doing. Dude's in shape. He connects his ass off and he just does a lot of different things. And so I wanted to get his perspective on things. So what's up, Chris, man? Glad you're on.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for having me on. This is an honor to share the table with all these great people that you've talked to before.
Hell yeah, brother. Like I said, I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, with that being said, Chris, you know, just kind of, we're going to get this out in the open, man, that, you're an unrepresented iron worker. And so, I think that's important to know, because we're going to kind of discuss, you know, the differences, you know what I mean? And I'm hoping that you can ask me questions as well as I'm going to ask you questions. Right. So, with that being said, Chris, man, kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself becoming an iron worker.
Yeah, sure. I have to correct you a little bit too. I am I'm an iron worker apprentice. I'm still within my first year of iron working. Okay. And so I'm very green. I'm very new to it all. I actually got into it because I had been commercial fishing and kind of flying back and forth from where I live in Denver to Maine. And that fishing fleet is out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And so I was doing that for a while. I'd work like 2 months on, 2 months off, this and that. And then I just kind of got tired of doing that. I did that for like 3 years after I was doing wild and firefighting. And I kind of got tired of being home. I got into a relationship and I just kind of wanted to be around more. And I really didn't know what was going to like fuel me, like what I was going to do for a job that would like have the same excitement, you know, as those other trades. And my girlfriend's, well, my fiance's father actually suggested construction, and I had never considered construction. And so I started looking into the different construction jobs, and I was watching a lot of Mike Rowe Dirty Job episodes. Hell yeah. And then I came across ironworking, which was funny because when I was 10 years old, I used to visit my uncle in New York. And I actually have had the picture of the guys eating lunch on the beam.
Yeah.
I've had that in my room where I grew up since I was like 10 years old. And I just never, it never clicked, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I started researching ironworking and what it was all about. How do you get into it? What do you need for tools? What does the job entail? This and that. And then I started looking at ways to get into it. And at the time I had contacted the union, and it was tough. It was like during the spring, so like they weren't always there.
Yeah.
And I ended up talking to the business manager, and then I talked to the apprentice, like director guy, manager. And he was telling me that the only way I was going to be able to get in was if I rod busted. And I wasn't at the time very interested in rod busting. I wanted to do structural. And because of that, I was like, all right, well, I need to find another way to do iron. And so I just started calling up every single steel company in Denver. And none of them called me back because I have no like record or history or whatever. And so then I started walking up to iron workers on the street, and I was like, hey, how do I get a job? Hey, yo, I can do this job. Yeah. You know, what's up? And then one of them gave me an interview. He was like, yeah, sure, I'll call my boss and you can get an interview. And before I knew it, I had an interview. I sat down and I was like, the guy told me to lie. He's like, say you've been connecting in like Las Vegas for all these years and like you know how to do this and that. And he was trying to prep me to like lie in this interview.
Sounds like an iron worker.
Yeah. And I was like, kind of nervous about that. I was like, Jesus Christ, you know, the second I start working, these motherfuckers are going to know I don't know shit, you know. I'm pretty comfortable with not knowing anything.
Yeah.
And so I got into the interview, and the first thing I said was, all right, I don't know anything about this, but I can put in the work. I'm a really hard worker. I learn fast. And, you know, if I'm passionate about something, like, you know, you can't stop me. So.
Hell yeah. And that's Chris. It. Yeah, man. And like, if anybody's obviously saw your Instagram page, man, you are a working motherfucker, man. And that's what stood out to me, obviously, man, just, your work ethic and all the things that you do, man. And so like, you kind of mentioned, you know, kind of wanted to talk about like the other trades that you do, man. So you said that you flew, you know, from Denver to Maine to go be a commercial fisherman. Was that like your first love? Is that your first passion? Or how did you get yourself into that?
Yeah, so I grew up in Maine.
Okay.
I grew up in Augusta, and then I ended up moving to Brunswick, and Brunswick is on the coast. And then I ended up living on the coast for a little while. And at that time, I was working for PFG, which is Performance Food Groups. I was a driver helper. So we deliver food in and out of like hospitals and schools and like mom and pop shops and restaurants and stuff. And that was a commute. Like I would drive down to Brunswick to get picked up by a truck to then work like a 16, 18 hour shift, get dropped off, picked back up at the gas station and driven home. And I found out that I lived like a 2 minute walk from the pier. And so I was like, you know, fuck it. I kind of always been interested in lobstering. And so I walked down there and asked for a job, and I worked inshore for one season. And that's how I got into lobstering. Yeah. When the captain brought up his traps in the wintertime, I needed a job. And during that time, you hear a lot about the big red boats, the yeah. Little Bay Shaftmaster boats. And I was like, all right, one of the guys that had worked for the captain that I was working for had worked on those boats. So the captain gave me his number. I went down to help a boat offload, and I took a site right then and there. It started right after Christmas that winter. And my first offshore lobstering trip was in the winter. Brutal.
And yeah, that's obviously going to be my next question, Chris, because I mean, I've watched like, you know, all the stuff on TV and stuff, man. And like the guys that do it out here in the Bering Strait and Alaska and stuff, those dudes are just friggin', I mean, that's, you know, I know I couldn't do that. I don't want to say that I couldn't do it. I just don't want to do that. Right. But
yeah,
I mean, that's gotta be like such a fucking rush. You know what I mean? Especially like, I can see how you would want to transition into ironwork, man. But like, what's it like to be out in the fucking ocean in the wintertime when waves are just crazy?
Well, pretty much since then. So I did a year and a half offshore straight. I spent like 260 days on the water. And, with like 10 day intervals in between those trips here and there. And you know, the first winter you do it, it's brutal. You're just like, oh my God, I do not know what I just signed up for. I didn't know anybody. Like I'm just out in the middle of the ocean. I don't know anybody. I'm like working harder than I've ever worked before. And it's cold. And like some days the boats will be covered in ice. And so you have to wake up and beat all the ice off the boat before you get your day going. And then sometimes like it'll be so cold that like when we're hauling a trawl or something, the like the tie down lines will freeze before we can even like get the trap up. So it'll just, you'll be dealing with frozen line the whole time. And it's like just tough and hard to tie and stuff. And yeah, it's just kind of rough. I can see what you mean by like, I don't know if I'd want to do it, but
yeah.
It was, and the captain I worked for was really tough on us. Like the first guy I ever worked for was really tough on us. And that taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where, I think everybody has a moment where something very difficult has happened, like in work or in life. And it's kind of like a deciding moment where it's like, you know, who do you want to be in this moment? You know,
yeah.
You might ask yourself that question. And then that question right there sort of started me down this entire journey. You know, I was able to break through that. I was working with a great group of guys that like help you through that. And before you know it, it starts to get warm again. And the job was easier than you thought it was. It was just you were cold and everything was new.
Yeah. You know, some of the work obviously you do on the boats, you're obviously using like rope. I think there's like a little boom arm and all that stuff. So like some of the things that you were learning on the boat, I'm sure you use those things to transition to ironwork, because we do kind of the same things. We use rope, we use wire rope chokers, things like that. So getting back into the ironwork, man. So like how did what you learned from working on the boat able to allow you to start going and connecting and just doing that type of ironwork? Because I mean, like not everybody can connect, man. It's you know, just, I hate to say it, but everybody just cannot do it. They're not made to do that. So
I'm still learning as well.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that, you know, you're somebody that is doing it. You know what I mean? It's not an easy job as well. Right. So like, how did you take your knowledge from working on the ocean and working on a boat into ironwork?
I think, well, knots can be helpful, but sometimes like the knots you learn on the boat are they're different knots for ironworking. but just a working knowledge of knots has been helpful. But I think other than that, as far as like going from trade to trade, it's really mind state. I'm a learner. I love learning. You know, out of all the things I've done, I'm always new to it. Yeah. So, you know, I never have any like long lasting credibility. I always have to be humbled and eat humble pie and like know that I'm a beginner at something and then work my way through that knowledge and learn. So I think it's really just about a mind state. Like if you're on a, when I learned to connect or learn to walk the beams and still am learning, there's a little nerves that go into it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yep.
At first, unless you're just one of those crazy people that just like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like, you know, when something difficult or something challenging comes at you, what are you going to do? You know? And what are you here for?
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, you put yourself in positions. So why did you put yourself there? Like,
you gotta be intentional. Intentional.
Yeah. Don't quit unless like that's what you want to do, but be sure that's what you want to do, you know?
100%, Chris. And the other part of it too, man, is like you talked about the guys that you worked with. And so like, you know, I don't know what the Raising Gang is like where you're at, but man, but being in a Raising Gang is kind of that camaraderie that you have, man. You have to trust the guys that you're working with, that they've rigged the piece up, right? That everything's right, right? So
a lot of trust in ironworking for sure. A lot of trust in these jobs. I think camaraderie, that's a great point. That's something that when you work in these situations with these people, that is a big deal as far as that is. The company I work for now, we don't have that many connectors. So I work with a guy that's been doing it for 10 years and he's been great. And just, we love being on the iron together. I wish we had more jobs to be able to get on the iron together more often because man, it's just a fun time. Like, you know, he and I'll shoot the shit and we're going to race each other. And like, you know, like he's obviously got all these years of experience and I'm like brand new, but like, I want to beat him. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun. And I love how tough like steel is and like, you got to get it in place and it's hard work. And like, you know, trying to get it in place and you have your spud and you try to get the bolt in at the same time, you don't want to drop anything.
Yeah.
And you're just muscling stuff, which is like my favorite part of connecting.
Hell yeah. And so like kind of leads me into the next thing I wanted to ask about is obviously you talked about it at the beginning, you know, in your introduction, Chris, is like calling the union, man, and trying to find out about getting into the union. And so, it can be difficult for some people, right? You know, when I applied back in 2004, man, it took me almost 2 years to get in because I was a guy that had no knowledge of anything. I could hardly read a tape measure. Let's just say that, man. I was a city slicker. You know what I mean? That wasn't what I was into, but I eventually got my call and then, you know, I got into the apprenticeship, which I'm very grateful for. I mean, I have everything I have and everything I've been able to do is because of that union card that I was able to get, right? And so like, with that being said, man, like, you know, I don't know exactly what it's like in Denver, but here where I'm at, you know what I mean? We have, depending on like, let's just say, you know, the kind of work that you're doing, Chris, let's say like, you know, I don't know how it works with you, but let's just say that you're on a prevailing wage job and then you go to the next job. Does your company keep you at that same rate, you know, every time you go to a job? I mean, does your wages change as you go job to job, or like, how does that work for you?
So I started with this company and I've stayed with this company. So as far as like, prevailing wages, I'm not really sure. My pay has stayed the same from the day I signed. Honestly, I'm still learning this world. Like I don't really, and pay and like wages is a big thing in this world. And like, what kind of money you can make and this and that and that and this. And it's very interesting and what your benefits can be. And so I'm pretty new to that world. So like, because this company has allowed me, and I'm very straightforward, because this company has allowed me to take time off to go fishing when I can, you know, chase that money and then come back to them. I haven't asked for a raise. I don't plan on asking for a raise anytime soon. But it would be nice to make more money. And then to hear about the possibility of, you know, when you go union and you become a journeyman, that you'd be able to boom out and make a journeyman wage just no matter where you went. Like, always know what you're going to make. You don't have to like chase your own work. The hall will find that for you. That sounds really beneficial to like the kind of lifestyle that I'm looking to live.
Yeah, definitely, Chris. And like you said, I thought I heard you say you had a fiance. I'm assuming that you want to have a family someday. And like, and that's all part of like the camaraderie of being a union member, man, because it is a brotherhood and sisterhood. We're all very close. It's all family oriented. But the protections that I have may not be what you have, right? I have an annuity, I have a pension, I have health insurance for me and my family that I don't have to pay extra for at the end of the week, right? It's all part of my total package, which a lot of people don't realize, you know, that who are unrepresented, man. And like we kind of talked about offline this morning, is that, you know, I talk to unrepresented workers every day, all day, man. And so like, I've heard the worst of the worst, but there are good stories in there, man. They're like people like you, obviously. You know, the company that you work for allows, you know, they let you go do the things that you want to do, go fish and things like that. And that's big props, man, because a lot of companies don't do that, right?
Right.
Even companies won't let you do that sometimes, right? Just depends on the work and everything else. But just like what you said, it's all about protections, man. You know what I mean? Like you're always stronger together than by yourself. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? I heard you say booming out, right? So yeah, if you do boom out, man, you get that journeyman rate no matter where you go, obviously depending on the local, right? But where do you see yourself in 5 years, man? Do you see yourself still being an iron worker?
It's a big decision, because I love chasing adventure and like working hard and traveling and the camaraderie and meeting new people and all that. Like that drives me a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I've always wondered if I was ever going to be someone that like finds something like a career, you know? I wasn't sure if I ever would, because I like, oh, that looks really cool. I want to try that, you know? And, but you know, I'm 32, I turned 33 this year. And you know, if in 3 years, if I go through the apprenticeship program and I'm 35 and I'm an iron worker for 20 years, I'll get a pension. And that's a lot healthier for my future than, you know, when you jump around with job to job, there's no benefits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure your wife at some point is going to be telling you that, right? As my wife did, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just about me, right? It's about your family.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, man, I could talk to you all day about that, Chris, but that's not really what I wanted to do, man. But like, just to obviously make you aware of different situations that you may face, you know, there's a lot of things, but kind of moving on, Chris, man, like, you know, one of the things after like watching you, like on your Instagram and stuff, man, working out and stuff like that, that's all comes down to a mindset, man. And can you kind of talk about what your mindset is? You know, it seems like you have an intentional mindset, but like, what do you do to make sure that you go do those things that you want to do?
That's a tough question. I think maybe talking through it will uncover some truths, but, you know, I grew up in a small town in Maine, the capital, Augusta, and there wasn't much there for me personally. And it was going to happen that I was going to leave home and figure something out. And so once I left lobstering, I left lobstering for wildland firefighting. And I did that because when I got through lobstering, I was like, if I can get through this, this has got to be the hardest thing that anyone can do. If I can get through this, like I could probably do mostly anything. So like, what is that? What's next? You know? And I started researching wildland fire, and that looked a lot of fun, totally different from where I grew up, hiking up mountains, with a crew and like packing tools and like fallen trees in the fire in the woods. And, that looked like a lot of fun. So I called up 200 crews. I did the research. I looked up every single crew in the country and I called them all up. I left voicemails. I called them again until someone accepted me. Yeah. And then I moved out west. I moved to Idaho, like Idaho City, which was like so random, total yeah. opposite part of the country. And I was like, I don't know what this is going to be, but it's going to be something, you know what I mean? And so as far as Mon State goes, I think everybody should do something that tests their character and tests their limits, because they're going to be better for it. It grows you up. It, you learn a lot about yourself. And then, you know, anything else, like I just personally have just a curiosity with just things and learning new things. And that includes hard work. I don't know what it is. I really like being physical, and I don't know. And I'm curious
I guess the other part of it too, Chris, is, man, like, so like something that I deal with, like mental health shit. Right. And so sure. I work out obviously to make sure that, you know, to make sure that I can keep that in check. Right. Cause I think a lot of us in construction deal with that on top of addiction and all that other stuff. Right. But being part of my mindset is that I have to get up, I have to work out, I have to do these things. Right. I make a list for myself every day, because if I don't, man, you don't know where Paul's going to be. Right. It's going to be,
yeah,
be anything. Right. And so like, that's the whole part of it. And so like, you know, the other part of the question is like, you know, you're obviously a very physically fit dude, man. So like, why do you do that? Why do you get up and work out every day?
I enjoy it. I like the structure of it. And, you know, we all want to look better naked. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, no shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a little bit of that. You know, I enjoy bodybuilding. I started off powerlifting, but I enjoy bodybuilding, and I don't know. It's another form of working hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it obviously all carries over to like being up in the air, right, man? Because that's obviously, when you're up in the air, is a different type of in shape than like going to the gym and being in shape, right? It's like,
oh,
you gotta work that out, right? So what's it like for you in the air, Chris? I mean, what's it like for when you're in the air, man? Like, what's it like for you?
It's like freedom. Just like, you know, you got like 6 inches that you get to walk around on, and it's freaky. But like when you stand up and you start getting comfortable and you're moving around, it's just like, it's like you own the world. It's different. It's, you know, I knew it was going to be cool, but I didn't know how cool.
And it's like the other part of it too, Chris, like some of your videos, you know, you obviously you're putting them stanchion lines or those safety cable lines on all the on the beams. Right. And, you know, to be honest with you, man, I'm pretty shocked that a non-union company is actually doing that. Right. Because that's pretty work wise, man, is like, you know, when you're offsetting your safety line, so it doesn't fuck with you when you're walking across. It actually kind of helps you. You know what I mean? But like, with that being said, like the company, you know, like working in Denver, do you get a lot of shit for, you know, like going on the job? And have you ran into union iron workers on the jobs that you're at?
Not on the jobs that we've been at. And I will say the company that I work for, they also fabricate their own steel.
Okay.
So we're putting up steel that our company fabricated, which is pretty cool. Like when I put those videos up, some of the guys in the fab shop will see it, and I don't know, they really like it because they get to see what they have worked on get installed. I didn't even think about that when I was doing it. They were just like, man, that's so cool. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna keep doing it then.
I mean, we do forget about the shop iron workers, man. Nothing against the shoppies, as we like to call them, but I mean, those guys bust their ass, man. They're in that shop rolling iron and fabricating and putting welding clips and all that. I mean, in 100-degree days, I mean, that's no joke and no walk in the park either, right? You know, I asked you about like in 5 years being an iron work, man. Like, you know, I definitely encourage you to like call that business agent again, man. Call the apprenticeship coordinator, a guy that has experience is something that we're looking for, right? It's always needed right now. You know, just what I see in my field, or like as what I do, is like, you know, trying to get kids to actually go into the trades, man, which is kind of scary because, you know, there's so many projects that are coming up, brother, that we're not going to be able to man up. And so like,
it, that's, and that, that, not to interrupt you, Paul, but yeah, since you're talking about that, that is the whole approach that I'm having. And that's why it's called the working muscle is, you know, I'm working up to, I have this idea for a YouTube channel where I lift with different blue collar workers, different tradesmen, and we interview each other kind of like this while we're lifting. Yeah. And then we go out into the field and they show me what they do for a living and oh, yeah, what their job is. Yes. And I want that to influence the next generation about thinking about getting into something like this, whether it's ironwork or just construction or commercial fishing, or there's just so much cool stuff out there. I wish I could do it all. Like part of the idea would be so that I could do it all. You know, I get to like go hang out with these people that do all of this stuff and get to try it out a little bit. But, you know, I could be wrong, but I just feel like a lot of people these days, like they don't want to work, or they have a bad idea of what working hard is, or like, you know, but they're in their jobs and they're miserable, or they don't feel happy at their 9 to 5 or whatever. And, you know, some of the people I worked with on the boat, like had like great white collar careers, and they were just tired of it. They didn't want to do that anymore. And so they left, and now they're on this boat, and they're like, and they, you've never seen them so like happy. You know what I mean? It's like something clicked. And, I think that's just something that like the camaraderie and the brotherhood of like these jobs, and, because you all go through something tough together, it really brings it out. I think, you know, I think a lot of military people understand that, and whatnot, but,
I think that's a great idea, Chris. I think that's a great, that's awesome, man.
I just don't have the money to like go travel and like shoot all that right now, but
not yet, Chris.
Yeah. That's the idea. That's why everything's called the working muscles, because I want to save that name. I like bought the, domain and stuff like that, so no one can steal it from me.
Oh yeah.
But like, yeah, I am with you, and that's why I really love what you're doing with this podcast. Man, I love stories from the old timers. Like, that's one of the greatest parts about doing these jobs, is like just sitting and listening to the old people start talking, you know, on the boat, like at dinner time, you know, some dinners we won't speak at all. We'll just be sitting there like this. We're so tired, you know, the boat's moving, so we're going like this. And then But some old timer, or someone that's been in it for a long time, will start talking, and they'll discuss all these people that they've worked with and how things were back in the day. And I've always enjoyed history, but I like history from the mouth, you know, from the horse's mouth, I guess. But
oh yeah, and that's what I was gonna say, man. I would assume that there's some old time, you know, boat hands and that just have the craziest stories, man. And just to sit there and shut the fuck up and listen to them, man, is like what people need to do, right? Put the fucking 100%. Phone down and listen to these guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that comes out, and you know, it's the human condition. It's really cool.
Absolutely, Chris. And so, like, man, just we're at that half hour mark now, Chris. So, like, one of the last questions that I like to ask people is it gears to like talking to the younger people, man. Like, what would you tell a kid that would want to be a commercial fisherman or would want to be an iron worker, get into the trades? What would you tell that kid?
I think what we were kind of just discussing, like, you know, A, just do it. If you're thinking about it, like, just do it. You'll find out real quick if it's what you want to do or not. But like, stick with it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, working out, I guess, like go to failure. You know what I mean? If I always like to say, like, if you're going to fail forward, like just go all the way and fail. You know what I mean? Don't just half-ass or stop because you're afraid of the failure. Just go all the way and fail. So just, if you're thinking about it, I think you should do it. It's going to be life-changing no matter what you get into. You might think you don't like the guys that you're with, but just learn, shut up, learn, and work hard and have fun. Like, just have fun while you're in it. Like, that's what it is. I think too many people take things personally and they get bogged down in their head about how difficult something is or how they don't want to do something, but like, have fun. Just it's when you start feeling that, turn it off and just like see a different landscape, like have a good time, you know, check in on your brother or the other guy you're working with, you know what I mean? And then just learn. You know, I think what's important too is the people that aren't thinking about getting into the trades or haven't ever thought about this kind of stuff. You know, I'd say to them, like, you know, think about it. Like, it's, this is gonna, it's gonna test you in good ways, you know. And it's, if anything, you're gonna get a lot of knowledge out of it, and you're gonna get a lot of experiences out of it and memories. But you might just find out that something you didn't know existed is exactly what you were meant to do.
Yeah, and you can do something that you thought you couldn't do, like go up in the air and connect.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, like with that being said, brother, like I always like to just let somebody have the floor, man. I don't know if you want to do any shout outs or whatever, man, but if there's something that you want to say, man, now's the time.
Yeah. And if you have any question, any further questions, sure. Go for it. But I do want to just shout out, you know, I'm suddenly getting big on Instagram. Yep. But like, you know, whatever, like the people that I've worked with are way crazier, have done, are way better workers, you know what I mean, than I've, yep, that I could ever claim to be. But just everybody that's given me a shot and hired me and, you know, saw my drive and work ethic and all the people that I've ever worked with, like all of them, you know who you are. Like, I love y'all. Thank you for everything. And then on top of that, yeah, I'm rocking this Narbel hoodie. I don't know if you know who the Narbel is or...
Dude,
so this guy named Levi Parker, he's an iron worker. I think they're based out of Kansas City. He ended up leaving ironworking and following his dream, and he opened his own gym, and they do the conjugate system of powerlifting. These guys are dope. I think you should get them on your podcast.
Hell yeah.
I wanted to just represent them here.
Hell yeah.
And then, but yeah, shout out to Levi Parker and the Narbel. But yeah, do you have any more questions?
So like last thing I wanted to say to you, Chris, is like, man, if you're having difficulties with getting resources on or information about becoming a, you know, union iron worker, more information on apprenticeship, whatever it is, man, you have my number, you know where to reach me, and I will always be a resource for you, man. So just know that. And that goes for anybody that you work with or any of that, man, because they are important. They deserve, you guys deserve everything that I have and everything that everybody that is in Local 24 in Denver, you know what I mean? That's what you guys should have. And so that's all I have. That's the last thing I have to say, Chris. And
yeah, thank you. No, I wish there was less paperwork so you could just take someone on a job and do it. Yeah. You know? That's one of the things I like.
We're held by the state, right? We're right. You know what I mean? We're state accredited apprenticeship. So there's a little bit of, you know, you got to be a paper bitch every once in a while, but you know what
I mean? Yeah. Can I ask you a quick question?
Absolutely.
So like, one of the hesitations that I had as far as going union was that, you know, the apprenticeship is a very strong commitment. And I want, like, what would be the view if, like, you know, I want to do the apprenticeship, but then, like, you know, there's a good fishing opportunity and I want to take that for 2 months and then come back. Like, is that looked down upon? Is that going to set me back? How does that look in the field of like iron worker politics, et cetera?
So in my experience, Chris, what I would say is communication is the best thing you could ever do. So if I was to let my foreman know, if I'm on a job and I say, hey, I tell my foreman, man, I have this coming up in 2 months or I have this coming up in a month, you know, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to be going and doing. I've never had an issue with anybody saying no. You know what I mean? It's always been the communication, right? But if I show up the day before and say, hey, man, I'm going to be gone for 2 months, most likely they're going to cash you out and probably fire you because, you know, I mean, they needed your help, right? You were hired to do that job and they were expecting you to do that job. And all of a sudden now you're not there, right? So like communication is the biggest thing, Chris. And a lot of us iron workers suck at communication, man. It's just in my experience, man. But the better you can communicate to your leadership, your foreman, your GF, the superintendent, man, I guarantee you they will encourage you to go do that, right? Because that's what it's all about, man, is better in your life. So, you know, and that's my experience, right?
That's good to hear. Yeah, I'm really excited. I definitely, it's, you know, I'm pretty dead set on doing it this fall and getting in and, you know, calling myself a union iron worker and just getting that, like the real training, I think, like the difference between union and non-union, like right now everything's like, is a little haphazard and this and that. And I think it's fine. I think this company's a fine company, you know what I mean? And I think it's great.
Well, you know that, Chris, you don't have to leave that company, right? You don't have to leave that company, right? You can stay there and start a union there yourself. But I mean, we could talk about that offline at some point, but that's your right, man.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Is your right. You know, you have the right to start a union, right? You know, that's what it's there for. Obviously, there's a lot of things that go into that, but I'm more than willing to sit down and talk to you about that because that's my job, right?
Cool. Yeah.
That's not a podcast kind of thing, but that's more of like, you know, like you got to sit down and really understand that because there is a lot to that, right? And so, but a guy like you, man, that is a fucking go-getter, that's what you want to have as somebody leading and, you know, having an organizing committee within your, within whatever, if you're trying to organize a company, right? So, but there's a lot to that, Chris. And, you know, I don't like, sit here and talk to you for an hour about that because it's more of a personal thing and, you know, you got to really understand it, right?
For sure. Well, Paul, thank you so much for having me on. And this has been great. I love Chasing the Hook podcast. You know, I want everybody to hear these stories. They're pretty incredible.
Hell yeah, Chris. And then with that being said, brothers and sisters, have a good one and be safe.